Good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Brooks, host of the Prudent Money Radio Show. Just got off today's program. Want to give you a little bit of a preview as to what you'll be hearing on the podcast. Today, we talked about the 10 things that you may not know about financial advisors and the financial advisor business. With this information, I think that you can make better decisions when it comes to maybe selecting a financial advisor or evaluating the relationship that you have today. Speaking of which, if you have any questions and or you want to know what I do for my clients, I'd love to talk to you further. You can go to info@prudentmoney.com, send an email in, we'll get right back with you. Or for general information, just go to prudentmoney.com. Keep the faith. So what does the financial service industry keep quiet? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon and welcome to the Prudent Money Radio Show. I'm your host, Bob Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, if you got a question for me, you can always go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. There you'll find two different resources available to you to get your questions answered. The first one is the Ask Bob, and we've been doing that email service for decades. And enjoy getting your questions and answering them in that format. Now, sometimes that format is not quite enough to get the job done, so we need a little bit of maybe some phone time. So you can go to my calendar there. You'll see it on the page. Pick a time, and we'll set up a phone conference. There's no fees. There's no gotchas. There's no just another way to get information, all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. I've been thinking quite a bit about the financial advisor community and its relationship to the consumer, to the investor, to the individual who wants to get a financial plan put together, who wants to get their finances organized, who wants to make sure that they're in the proper risk category. And the one thing that is pretty consistent with all this is the lack of knowledge and understanding that most people have when it comes to this particular industry. And it's somewhat of a problem, because I'll tell you that I know a lot of incredibly genius men and women who will flat out tell you, I know nothing about money. Yet they are pulling off million-dollar deals, doing breakthroughs in various areas of their professions, but the whole money thing just really has them confused. And so, to me, it makes sense to clear up that confusion. And, of course, that is what we do at Prudent Money and have been for over two decades, is talk about that other side of the story, what you don't know. Now, I want to make it clear that, I mean, I am a part of that community, the financial advisor community, and there are, as you might expect, like in any industry, there's good people that are wanting to take care of people, and there are people who are wanting to sell a product. And then there's various standards of ethics that go along with that. That's the way it is in every single job, no matter what. You see the people who are money hungry and the focus on money, and the people who are focused on doing a good job for the client. So this is not to say that there's two things that I'm not trying to say. The first one, I'm not trying to say that the financial advisor community has it all wrong. I'm just saying there's another way to look at it. And depending on what your values are, depending on what's important to you, you would choose the right option. Now that you know all the options that fit your particular situation the best. I'm not saying that everybody's doing everything wrong and I'm the only one doing things right. Now, anything like that. I think that if you lined up three or four financial advisors in a room and had each explain what their theories are and how they feel about the future, when it comes down to 15 years later, you'll figure out who was right and who was wrong. Up until then, it's just an opinion. So it always kind of gives me a chuckle when I find someone who will be doing marketing on a commercial or a radio spot and talk about, you know, they've got it all figured out. Nobody has it all figured out. So that's definitely something that you've got to know. It's all an opinion. It's all and you know, that's the thing with an opinion. It's tough to say to a person, if you really think about it, you're wrong. Your opinion is wrong. It's just an opinion, no more than your opinion is, until it's turned into a fact. And when it's turned into a fact, then you can associate who is right and who is wrong. So just keep that in mind. But my disclaimer is, this is purely educationally based information telling you the things about the industry that you may not know. And I would suggest that the process, if you're in that process right now, or you're thinking about switching to another advisor, this whole process of understanding, this whole process of asking questions, asking the right questions. And I was talking to somebody today on a call, and he said, you know, I like to do my research and I like to get an understanding, so I ask the right questions. And that's what this is all about. I think you should give anybody the opportunity to explain their processes, and then it's up to you to determine if you are comfortable with the approach and the person that you're talking to. Very simply, that's the way that it is. Once again, if you have any questions about what we're talking about today, prudentmoney.com is where you go. The first one is advisors are not independent. Most advisors are not independent. Now, it's important to understand what that means. As far as my practice goes, I'm completely independent. I don't answer to anybody except for my clients. And I make decisions, whether they're good or bad, and I don't have anybody reviewing those decisions. Obviously, I have a whole ton of regulations that I've got to follow, rules I have to follow, and the various regulators make sure, through the process of an audit, to make sure that I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Other than that, I don't have anybody that is standing over my shoulder. If you're not independent, you have a whole culture, company culture, firm culture that you have to follow. You have to follow the rules that could be additional that are generally based around sales forecasts and sales projections that a manager may be pressuring the advisor for to make your numbers. And I think that puts an advisor in a bad spot, because you like to think they would do the right thing, but they could be just selling something to sell it to get numbers. Hoping that's not happening, but it's just like with anything else. Sometimes human nature takes place. So the company culture also is very restrictive in what the advisors can and cannot do. That's sometimes a good thing, and then sometimes that can be restrictive to the point that it's not good for the client. But it's just important to know that, independent or not independent. Number two, some advisors can only provide their products their company recommends. And this is probably something that you wouldn't know unless you were to know to ask the right questions. A captive advisor or captive agent is one that can sell and recommend only the products that are associated with their companies. And that's it. Versus the other option is that you go and you deal with somebody who can offer you anything on the market. So there's really nothing that they can't recommend for you. And even then, even if you have kind of an open platform, then anything that is added to that platform, your sales manager and management team would have to approve that to be on the list of investments that they can recommend. So there's some real restrictions on captive agents. Now, here's the way I look at that. It could be that they have one of the greatest programs and the greatest products that you've ever seen, and you really like it, and you feel very comfortable with this individual, and you think they'll take care of you, then maybe you go forward with it without doing a comparison. With a captive type situation, it often makes sense to do a comparison, and it might be that the numbers are real close, and you pick the captive agent instead versus the person that you're getting a second opinion for. And then it brings me up to one other thing. Never hesitate to get a second opinion on anything. I think it's extremely important to do that so that you know exactly, once again, what your options are and what makes sense. Number three, not all advisors are following the fiduciary standard. Fiduciary standard is an interesting concept in our business, and it has really been highlighted in a lot of media and particular news articles. The fiduciary standard is simply, and I always feel kind of ridiculous reading this just because, or talking about this, because it should be that everybody is putting their clients' first best interest ahead of themselves. But that's exactly what it means. If you are following the fiduciary standard, you are recommending that which is suitable, and you are putting your client ahead of your own goals and desires. You're doing what's right for the client. I've had to follow the fiduciary rule for years. There's still some that don't, or very, very light one, but as long as they fall into what's called the suitability rules, they're okay. Suitability rules, as long as it's a suitable investment, then you've done your job. Well, if you look at a person's particular situation, there could be 50 suitable recommendations because they're so broad in scope versus a recommendation that is not suitable because it doesn't fit their particular individual goals. So you have to be able to know the difference between the two. So it's important just to ask if you're a fiduciary or not. This is Bob Brooks. We are up against a break. Stick around. I'll be right back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Listen, if you ever want to hear this program as far as in a podcast format, we download the program, the recording of the each day's program, and put it out on whatever site that you consume your podcasts on. So just remember, you can always download that. I know a lot of people do that, and I get a lot of nice email or text from people saying that they like the podcast. So if you get a chance, two things. You can rank it, and hopefully you'll put a good word for us in on that podcast. And second, it's there to for educational purposes, and can be found, like I said, on any of the podcast platforms. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, we were talking about what the fiduciary standard is versus suitable, what's suitable, and the fiduciary standard is the higher standard. So you want to make sure that your advisor is under that fiduciary standard. Now, what I'm starting to see, and I'm not really sure how I feel about this, because I don't think that the regulators ever meant for the fiduciary standard to be a marketing plus. But I'm starting to hear a lot of commercials and see a lot of commercials that talk about the bonus of being with them or being with that firm is they are a registered fiduciary, and they have to follow the highest care for their clients, the fiduciary standard. Well, the way I look at it is we're all under that fiduciary standard to begin with, and we should be following the highest standards and shouldn't have to tell people. But that's just my thought. Number four, most managers don't support money management. Most sales managers in a typical brokerage company where you have your money, where you could have your money invested with a financial advisor, don't want their advisors managing money. There's too much liability with it. There's too much of a learning curve that most advisors don't have. And so they just don't want, and so it's kind of maybe against the rules because they're not allowing them to move money around. So if your advisor is telling you that they're managing money or they're going or that they do manage money, ask them to define that, because managing money is a process that is a daily process that is all about making sure that the investments that you are invested in are still a good place for your money to be, and that it is suitable. Remember, it always comes back to the suitability. If they're not doing anything, then but there's not a whole lot of money management going on, and you need to know that. Which goes to number five, are you going to be okay with a buy and hold as a rule, and or versus an active management strategy? Which one does it come down to? And there's a big argument on each side of the table on which one's the best and all that kind of thing. I'm not here to get into that. Just know that it's really one or the other. And then probably in the middle of that, you could say that if they go in and reallocate, or maybe reallocation, making sure that your allocations are on December 31st back to the same place they were January 1st. That makes sense. But like I said, there's a lot of opinions both ways on that, as to if it makes sense or if it doesn't make sense. If you ask pop culture finance, you should always buy and hold as a rule. I don't agree with that, but that's what they say. In fact, I saw an article. I was trying to find it a second ago, but I can't remember where I filed it. And this article talked about an advisor was talking about how the industry, if the market goes down in a bear market and everybody is losing money, then it's kind of one of those things where you're in good company because everybody is in the same boat that you're in. However, if you're managing being independent and you make mistakes, then that's the kiss of death. So it's one of those things where you could lose clients, I guess. You could lose a lot of things if you went out on your own and managed money and were wrong, versus you didn't manage money and you lost 50% of your clients' money. And that's what you're kind of up against when it comes down to the buy and hold as a rule. Number six is don't believe in or don't know how cycles work. I've talked about this many times. In fact, I'm thinking about putting together a webinar to really dive into this, because to me, this is the problem, is that most advisors don't have any idea how cycles work. And it's very simple. If you imagine a circle that goes round and round clockwise, and you get up to the top about 12 o'clock and you start heading down, that would be a bear market. At the very bottom at 6 o'clock is when you start to recover from that bear market. At 9 o'clock, you're recovering. You're in a bull market. You go all the way back up to the top to 12 o'clock. Then it starts back down 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, down into a bear market again. That is how markets have worked from the late 1800s to today. They run in cycles. And I doubt that that's going to change. It's important because it's so very important that an advisor who's managing money can tell you, I believe we are at this point in the cycle. And there's a lot of clues and things you can look at. It's like today, I believe that we're at the closing in on the top of the circle And we're right at 12 o'clock, meaning that we have an entire bear market side of the circle to go down. And we'll see if that holds true, but that's what I see. The next one is number 7, they are not managing your money, they are leaving it alone. That's the thing that this is kind of off of one we've already talked about. But this is, you know, the client assumes that the advisor's managing risk for them or managing their money or looking after their investments when they're really not doing anything at all, because they're really not charged to do that. So it's important to ask questions like, what will you be doing with the money to protect against risk? What happens if a bear market comes along? And you got to be really comfortable with the answers to these questions. And it's a conversation that you definitely want to have and make sure that you have. Number 9, are they a salesperson versus are they someone who knows their craft? Let me speak to the person who knows their craft. That individual sits down and listens and asks questions and spends pretty much an entire first appointment time getting to know who the client is, who the prospective client is, getting to know what goes on in their life, what's important to them, what their goals are, where they are today, how they feel about risk, and getting a good profile, being able to put a good profile together to base your recommendations off of that profile. And that goes along in the lines of fiduciary standard versus a salesperson. And once again, I'm not saying that all financial advisors are salespeople. I know a lot of great financial advisors who are in different types of setups than I'm in. That doesn't make them right or wrong or good or bad. And they take care of their clients. And that's all that really matters, is that you are taking care of your clients and doing the right things by your clients. But like in anything else, there's people who are motivated completely 100% by investing into the highest commission product or doing things that, you know, that take care of their financial situation and really are not the best financial recommendation for your client. A salesperson who's in a sales process will look at first no different than your person who wants to be a counselor first and not a salesperson at all. And so the individual sits down with the advisor who's a salesperson, and then he or she asks a couple of questions. And then from there, they're already pitching a product that there's no way they could even know if that product was suitable for that person or is a good recommendation. So there'll be someone who rushes the process and does everything they can to get through it and sell you, and then the pressure starts and all that kind of thing. I would suggest if you are talking to somebody that's doing that, just get up and walk out, because you definitely don't deserve that type of treatment. Number 10, real quick, is if an advisor calls you and they want to move money and there's expenses involved, that it makes sense and it's not just a parallel move in order to generate commissions. That's very important as well. Well, if you've got any questions about any of this, you can always go to prudentmoney.com, send a question in, and I will give you more clarification or better understanding of what we were talking about. I know there was a lot to cover today, but I'm always available for questions at prudentmoney.com. And you can get a lot of good information there as well. This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.